Many people think single family homes and rentals is only me, me, me. I mean, it's actually also a team. In the team, you need a broker, you need a property manager, you need a lender, you need a title house and all of that. So it's important to have a team that you trust.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus, and we are here today with Dr. Harry Nima Zagara of Nima Equity. Welcome, Harry.
Hey, Michael, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on your show today.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. Harry is a pulmonary and critical care physician, a real estate investor, entrepreneur, and co-founder and manager of Nima Equity, a commercial real estate syndication company where he helps physicians earn passive income, lower their taxes, and achieve financial freedom. Harry has experience in rental properties and currently owns and manages 9 properties across the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, and is general partner in 1,076 units in 4 different states. Harry met his wife, Mitzi, in medical school in Peru, and they finished their training in Pennsylvania and Virginia. Harry currently works in a tertiary medical center in Dallas, Texas. He loves the outdoors, has 2 boys who love basketball and soccer, and he loves to vacation and travel to Cancun in Florida, and he's also an avid runner. Man, you got a lot going on there.
Yes, that's correct. to find time, like to do all of those.
We have a little bit in common here that I did my internship in Pennsylvania at Geisinger.
Oh.
And my residency at VCU in Richmond, Virginia.
I remember, I think like when we connected. Yeah, I mean, like I did my residency in the Lehigh Valley area, so which is like an hour and a half or 2 hours from Geisinger. And I also did my fellowship in VCU at VCU in pulm critical care.
That's great. When were you at VCU?
Yeah, I was there like from 10, 12 to 15.
Okay, so shortly after I was there, you were doing your fellowship. Yeah. So you are originally from Peru?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so both my wife and I were both from Peru.
Okay. And so you went to medical school there and then came to the States.
Yes, yes. So we both met over there in Peru. Like the medical school is a little bit different. So everyone takes like a test. And depending on that test, they decide if you go into medical school or not. So you don't do 3 years of college and then like you decide to go to medical school. So you just go straight to medical school. And the career is like 7 to 8 years. So it's a little bit different, but at the same time, like the length is almost similar.
Okay. But the decision is made like right out of high school.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was your plan for a long time. Your wife's a doctor too?
Yes, yes. Something funny is that we always talk about this. We met at the beginning of medical school and we were friends like the whole career, right? Like, so we didn't start to go out on date like until after we finished medical school.
Oh, interesting. So you knew each other for quite a while.
A while, yes. A long time.
Was the plan to come to the States or did that develop later on?
Yeah, so, I mean, things change in life, right? Like, so it was not necessarily all the time planned, but at almost at the end of the career, like my year 5th or 6th, we decided let's look for a better opportunity, for better training, like for a better life too. So that's when we decided, I mean, actually it was in the last year of medical school, we were doing already training, like the clinical training that we used to start doing, I mean, all the steps to come here to the US.
What does that take to make that transition? Is it a big process or is there enough demand that it's not too hard to make it happen?
Yeah, so it was actually probably easier 15 or 20 or 30 years ago. So now it's getting more and more difficult. Like I understand it's kind of similar as in terms of the test. So you need to meet certain standards. Because of that, you take the step 1, the step 2. In my time, it was also like the clinical skills, which that doesn't apply anymore. And then you apply. And ideally, you need to also have some American clinical experience. So it's a process. So you take a couple of tests, which sometimes it takes time to review all those tests when you have finished your medical school in Peru and then apply here. And you can imagine, I mean, like, I'm coming from a developing country, right? It's not that we have a lot of resources over there. So it was like a long, it was sort of like an expensive process, even coming here to the US to take the clinical skills and to go for interviews around the country, kind of like an experience, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember just the cost of going to interviews was a little bit tough at the end of medical school, and I wasn't traveling from another country. Were you able to do a bunch of them in one trip, or was this a lot of travel back and forth?
Yeah. So the first year I applied, actually, I didn't match. I was kind of like a little bit late to the cycle. So I decided to apply anyway. So I got 3 interviews, actually. But I was a little bit late because my clinical skills were still pending. And the results, it arrived in mid-January when the cycle was already undergoing. So I was a little bit late. But the next year, I made my, you may say, my CV stronger. So I went for more observerships. I took also like the step 3. And on that second year, I got like a good number of interviews, actually, to the point that I couldn't go to all of them because I didn't have the money to travel that much. But yeah, I mean, it was an experience. And sometimes just driving from city to city, like in the pre-time where there was no GPS and the smartphones or anything like that. So you can imagine like a bunch of papers and maps, like MapQuest, doing all of that. But, yeah.
And you're in another country trying to figure it all out.
Yes.
Was your wife applying? Was she your wife at the time, or are you applying together?
So we were already engaged and we were in the process. I mean, actually, as we wanted to stay together, right? If you're a physician, you understand that sometimes it's very, very difficult to have a couple's match or match almost in the same geographic area. So she decided to wait for 1 year. And after I matched, she started like applying the following year. So we have that plan. And we actually got married, I believe, like a couple of months just before I started the residency here in the US.
Okay. Well, it's a great story because like a lot of things in real estate, it doesn't always work out the first time.
And I know.
A little perseverance in finding the way to make it work. So when did you start looking at real estate? How did that connection start?
Yeah. So sometimes we try to look back and trying to define like the moment with we got like the bug in real estate or investment or entrepreneurship. So I came to the conclusion that actually it was when I was back in my country. Myself, I'm first generation college educated in my family. So it was a big step in our family to be able to go to college and actually to become a physician, even like in my country. And my parents, they got divorced when I was young. So I witnessed and I saw how my mom, I mean, she would do like several types of works and investments and things like with the family and with other people in order like to have a good home and education and to help us, right? Like to my sister and myself. And as part of her investments, she actually bought like a small, you may say like a hotel in my country, like a 20 something beds hotel. It was something small and something like in a developing country, as you can imagine, with all the differences. I mean, I was able like to witness how in part that investment helps us to through education, through medical school, and actually like to come to the US. Even though I'm super grateful and blessed they have that good education in the medical school, I also had this other part in myself where I was seeing and knowing doing things outside medicine can also help you a lot, right?
Yeah. So your first venture into real estate after you got here, was it after you were done with all of your training or did you start dabbling? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So we got that bag and our experience from back in my country. So when we came here, I mean, I was in the internal medicine residency. I mean, of course, you don't have that much time, but I was interested already. So I start the first thing that I usually tell people. So how do you start? So you start with education. So I started doing some books and audiobooks and podcasts. Well, in that time, there were no webinars, but there were also some live meetups. So you start to educate yourself. And I was very interested in the business and real estate here. It's just that we didn't have time at the beginning because we were in residency. Also because of the nature of, you can understand, right? Like 3 years here, 2 years here, 3 years in fellowship, and 2 years more. So it takes time until you decide to when you want to start and how you want to get started.
So what was your first property? How did the adventure begin?
Yeah. Our first investment property was here in Dallas-Fort Worth, just right after we moved from South Texas. It was a long-term rental. But actually, if we want to go back, it was actually when I was starting fellowship. So I was in Philadelphia for 2 years doing an ICU hospitalist work, and also in order to get my CV stronger, also to wait for my wife to finish her residency. So we were moving to Richmond, and we needed like a place where to live or where to stay. And if you remember, 2011 or 12 was the dip of the market in real estate. So there were many short sales and like that, actually, and like in repossessions and things like that. So we actually decided to buy a townhouse to live in there. So we actually bought like a short sale. I mean, if you think about the name short sale, it doesn't have to be short, actually. I mean, it's a long process. It takes months.
It's probably a longer process to do the short sale.
Exactly. So we actually closed on that days before I started my fellowship. We lived in the property for 3 years. And actually, when we finished fellowship and we moved to Texas, initially to South Texas, we went to sell the property because we were not going to stay in Richmond anymore. And we found out that the property had appreciated a lot actually. Mm-hmm. So that also was something very positive in our thought process in thinking, yeah, the real estate is something good to invest in and to build like a long-term wealth. So we were moving a couple of times more. And then when we arrived to Dallas, Fort Worth here in Texas, where we now live, just soon after that, we bought our home where I'm in this moment. And after that, we started investing, which it was like, again, like a long-term rental single family home.
So were you managing your own properties when you started?
Yes. And that was a big mistake. You can imagine full-time home and critical care with two boys. Now they are like 12 and 8 years old, but in that time, like way younger, with a wife who was also working around that time. So we bought our first property. And always the first one is the most difficult, but also the one that you learn the most. And also you try to do everything yourself. So we bought the property on the MLS, actually. So, and we bought the property cash also. So not ideally how you do it as an investor, right? So it was our first property and we decided like to manage it ourselves. Probably 4 months after that, we learned our lesson and we decided to hire a property manager.
Was this something that you were both looking to do, or was it one person or the other who was kind of the driving force to want to start buying properties?
Yes, we both are interested in entrepreneurship and also doing business, but I'm a little bit more like the enthusiastic person and the one who brings like the ideas and the goal and the long-term plans and all of that. And my wife is the one who says like, okay, let's sit down and talk about that and like, I'm fine if it's possible or not.
Now that you've been doing this more, because when I talk to doctors, I hear this a lot, that you get one part of the one spouse who's like, yes, we need to do this and we need some alternative things. And often the other spouse is not as excited. So it sounds like you were kind of both on the same road, though. It wasn't a point of contention.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you have to be on the same page and sync with your spouse, right? I mean, Mitzi, my wife, is a great part of my success. I mean, honestly, I couldn't have done like everything that we have done without each other's support, right? Like, so that has been very, very important.
As you've worked with other doctors and started doing syndications, how often do you find that getting the other spouse on board becomes part of the initial investment process? Have you seen that as a holdup for docs?
Yeah. So in the last 3 years, we have talked with many physicians and investors, right? And that's actually one of the things that I talk with my friends and investors that I talk to. Is your spouse aware of this? So like aware of this kind of investment and how long it takes and the risks involved and all of that. Because investing in a syndication is also kind of like a marriage. You're going to be with someone for a couple of years, at least 5 to 7 years sometimes. And you need to understand how's the process, like you don't have second thoughts or regrets at the end, right?
Yeah. So when did you do your first, did you start as a LP or did you start as a partner in your first syndication?
So it was both. We started as an LP and partner in our first one. And around that time, we were growing actually like in our residential portfolio. So we have grown significantly and we were scaling and we liked the residential real estate investing. However, as you can imagine, in the last 5 years, real estate, especially residential, got way more expensive. And it was more and more difficult to make sense in type of like the numbers for investors. And actually, one of my last properties that I bought 3 years ago initially, because we just bought two more properties last year. But before we decided to invest in syndications and commercial real estate, our last property was bought probably was half an hour from Fort Worth South. And the reason was that it didn't make sense anymore to buy closer to downtown because it was becoming so expensive. So that was part also the reason, and also the scalability of commercial real estate, that we decided to go into syndications and commercial. And yeah, as you mentioned, we invested passively, but also actively. We decided to join a mastermind group initially, so we have the right tools, the right connections, and the right support to get started on this business.
Okay, so you started out, you bought your first single family home that you rented out. Did you then just continue with single family, or did you go to the duplex, the fourplex route, or just continue to buy more single family homes?
Yeah, so I mean, our portfolio is mostly single family homes in a part of residential, of course. It's mostly single family homes, a couple of duplex and a triplex. So that's mainly.
Do you use the same property manager for all of them? Are they all kind of in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where you can use one property manager?
Yes, okay. Exactly. So we changed property managers one, and after that, we have stayed with them for the last 4 years. That's probably part of the reason or part of our success, because we were able to find someone who was great, who understands us, with great communication with us. So we enjoy working together. It's a great partnership, and also we are friends. So, I mean, it makes sense.
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course, and this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. So this one we haven't really talked about much on this show. So when you found your first property manager, did you do a bunch of research on that, interviews? How did you go through the process?
Yeah. So we actually went to Google and we started scouting like a lot. It was like over 10 PMs in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we have different criteria, right? Like the reviews in Google, our conversation, the fees, the time to response, and these kind of things. And we end up with two or three. And sometimes the recommendation is to ask for references and all of that, but it gets more lengthy process and all of that. So at the end, we also went with our gut feeling and picked one of them. And the relationship was great. But again, there were some things that we were not completely sure. When you don't have 100% trust in your partner, I mean, nothing wrong really, right? Like, I mean, it's better like just to part ways and just to start healthy with someone else.
Yeah. So, and this is interesting because a lot of time, you know, when we get into it, like you said, that first place, you manage yourself and you learn so much about it. And then you get your first property manager and you're like, oh, so now you're looking for your second property manager. When you made that change, did you do anything different when you found the second one, or was it somebody you had met or heard about along the way?
Yes. So that was our second choice at the beginning. Okay. So we have been in contact with these people, and we were always in touch and communicating and asking for questions about how to acquire more properties, right? Because as I mentioned at the beginning, our first property was bought out of the MLS, and all the rest were bought off market at a discounted price. And maybe the risk is increased. But again, if you are able to manage that, you have a good deal.
Did your property manager help source more properties for you? Were they connecting you with somebody selling some investment properties, or were they just...
Okay. Yes. And that's part of the relationship, right? Like, and the networking part. You sometimes don't know what's going to happen in the future and how people can help each other and collaborate. They introduced me to other investors who may have wanted to sell their properties, wholesalers or brokers and things like that. So it was a good relationship.
Okay. So that was the beginning of kind of building your network, was through your property manager?
Yes. Many people think single family homes and rentals is only me, me, me. It's actually also a team. In the team, you need the broker, you need the property manager, you need the lender, you need like the title house and all of that. It's important to have a team that you trust, definitely.
Now, when you said when you started looking at syndications, you joined a mastermind. Did you invest in any syndications before the mastermind, or that was kind of how you decided to go learn about this whole process?
Yeah, so we invested when we were in the mastermind already and when we were also doing actively. So we decided to join this mastermind. So one, because we have been educated in the prior 6 months, probably, but we knew that in real estate, in even more in commercial real estate, it's a team effort. There's no way, even if someone is doing this full time, it will be very difficult to do all the aspects of a transaction management and selling the property by him or herself. And you can imagine, right? Like I'm still a full-time doctor, so there's no way I'm going to be doing that, right? And yeah. I mean, I will be doing a disservice to myself and also to my investors. So I need to be careful about that. I need to be realistic, right?
Where did you find your first mastermind? Was this something you were introduced to through the network you'd already developed, or was this something you went out looking for?
Yes, I was already attending to several meetups here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And you can understand, like, Texas is like the center of the real estate. So there's like a bunch of conferences like every month here, like in Houston and Dallas. So we're very grateful about that. So some of the biggest conferences in real estate, like in the year, happen here. And we have two or three different masterminds in the area. So one of the things is we start doing our research, education, attending to some free events. And we start meeting the different coaches and masterminds. And that's how we went like into this one.
Okay. And so you were happy with the mastermind you joined?
Yes. So one of the things was we wanted the mastermind to be local. Call me old fashioned, or right? But I mean, we have webinars and meetups like online and all of that. But I usually prefer to be local. And in real estate, I mean, it helps a lot too. So we were local and the communication has been always great. They had over 10 years of experience in the area already. One of the important parts is also you can find education now anywhere, even like in YouTube, on the web, and even for free. There's not much difference. The difference to pay for a mastermind or like to join a mastermind is probably to accelerate that part, to have a partner who is already experienced in that field, and to be able to network also with other people like you, similar with different backgrounds and who have different areas of strength. So for example, like in one area is the underwriting and the other area is like the asset management and the other area is like the relationships with the lenders or investors. And the other one is the KP who has the net worth or liquidity. So it's great when you find like a group of people who are kind of like similar, but they can apport in different ways to the process.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Surgeon Syndicate with Dr. Harry Nima-Zagara. This is some great information. So please come back for the second half of our interview as we're going to discuss more on where to find the education and a little bit more into what Harry's doing now to help you all succeed on your journey through commercial real estate investing. So once again, thank you for joining us today on Surgeon Syndicate. We'll see you next time. We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, We'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call and we can make a plan. I'm looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.